I'm Suzanne Bona. My first car was this gigantic Chrysler Newport. My parents were Chrysler Newport people. That Chrysler Newport was the car I learned to drive on, except that I wrecked it about a month in after getting my driver's license. It was pretty bad. So then I graduated to one of the other Chrysler Newports that we had in the fleet. To donate your car to WSHU Public Radio, just go to WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. The region continues to assess damage from Sunday's once-in-a-lifetime storm and then rain again yesterday. Former Long Island Congressman George Santos will be sentenced in February. Schools in the region prepare for a new year, and it could soon be the end for one pretty outdated New York law. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Heavy rain and flooding that Connecticut and Long Island endured this weekend has been billed as a once-in-a-lifetime storm. But officials from the National Weather Service say they're actually becoming more common. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
More than 10 inches of rain fell within hours on Sunday night. It destroyed roads, homes, and businesses. Nelson Vaz is the warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in New York. He says the heaviest of rain can be the hardest to predict.
When you look at a kind of a distribution of possibilities, that type of rainfall really falls on the really kind of the tail end of these very, very, very low probability. You know, you're talking about 1% or less chance. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, those type of rainfall amounts actually don't even show up in the distribution of, that we see in the weather models.
Vaz says there's been a 40% increase in the top 1% extreme rainfall weather events over the last 60 years. He says it's because a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Neighborhoods on Long Island's North Shore are assessing the damage after torrential rains yesterday unleashed flash floods, burst dams, and mudslides. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The dam at Mill Pond in Stony Brook burst. So did the one at Blydenburg Lake in Smithtown. The deluge of water devastated nearby homes and roads and could take years to repair, according to Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine. At a briefing in Blydenburg County Park, he said recovery efforts will cost over $50 million, a number he expects to climb.
There was a concrete dam that broke through with the rain where we had 10 inches. And as a result, this entire pond is emptying out to the Nessaquag River. And if you go down by Jericho Turnpike, you'll see it flood over. This is a major catastrophe, which was not expected.
A spokesperson for Governor Kathy Hochul says the state is helping with shelters and supplies, but stopped short of an emergency declaration. In Connecticut, her counterpart, Governor Ned Lamont, declared a state of emergency Monday and requested a federal-level declaration Tuesday. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The motive behind gunshots fired at the home of former Bridgeport mayoral candidate John Gomes is still unknown, WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports.
It's not known if Gomes' car and apartment were targeted or randomly hit in the shooting last week. The former Democratic challenger to Mayor Joe Ganim says he may have been the target, and that has him worried for his and his family's safety, according to Hearst Connecticut Media. Gomes ran against incumbent Mayor Ganim in a primary last September. Ganim won, but the results were overturned in court over Gomes' allegations of absentee ballot fraud. The court rescheduled the primary and mayoral contest. Ganim won both. Bridgeport police say the neighborhood has a high crime rate and they receive a number of calls about gunshots. The incident remains under investigation. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Did you know that adultery is a crime in New York State? But it might not be the case for much longer. That story is coming up in just a bit.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Former U.S. Representative George Santos from Long Island will be sentenced in February. He pleaded guilty to federal wire fraud and identity theft charges yesterday. U.S. Attorney Brian Peace says Santos will be required to repay his victims and spend at least 2 years in prison.
After years of telling lies, former Congressman George Santos stood in the courthouse right behind me and finally, under oath, told the truth. And that truth is he is a criminal.
Santos briefly represented parts of Queens and Nassau County. He was expelled from Congress last year after being accused of lying about his biography and misusing campaign funds for personal expenses. Long Island has seen a renewed surge in catalytic converter thefts. Suffolk County Police responded to more than 30 incidents just in the last week alone. Bayshore, West Babylon, and a few other communities had been hit multiple times. Police say three bison are on the loose in the Guilford area after escaping from a nearby farm. One was spotted on Sunday near Long Hill Road just before it moved into the woods, and then again on Monday. If you do spot one, call the police and do not approach. 1 in 10 public school students in Connecticut last year were multilingual learners. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar reports on how Norwalk public schools are preparing for the year ahead.
Nearly 1 in 5 of Norwalk's public school students are multilingual learners. The city is one of the fastest growing districts for multilingual learners. That's someone whose home language isn't English and is still becoming proficient in the language. Alexandra Garcia and her daughter came to Norwalk knowing zero English.
I felt powerless because I didn't understand.
But she says when it came to enrolling her daughter and sending her to school, she was never out of the loop and still isn't 6 years later.
They keep us informed about everything, what happened around, accidents, homework. They send it to us in Spanish.
Frances Saez leads the district's multilingual learner office. She says her team does everything they can to make multilingual families feel welcome.
We used to have registration in the schools at one time, and the multilingual learner families would have to go to City Hall. They wouldn't register at the school, so it was very different, and we wanted to be able to offer families equal access to all resources.
Not every district gives as much attention to multilingual learner families, but the state as a whole took a step towards increased access last year. It now requires any district with multilingual programs to send resource lists directly to those families in their preferred language. That initiative began this summer in time for the upcoming school year. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
Believe it or not, adultery is a crime in New York State. But state lawmakers passed a bill earlier this year that would change that. It's now up to Governor Kathy Hochul whether to sign it into law. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell explains.
Attorney Timothy Tippins smokes a pipe while we chat in his suburban Albany driveway. We're both sitting in camp chairs. He's wearing a ball cap that says, "We the people are pissed off."
I teach a course on matrimonial law and practice, and part of that is the grounds for divorce.
He's been teaching at Albany Law School since 1986, and each year he gives his law students some advice. If adultery comes up, have your client plead the fifth, because in New York, adultery is a crime. What reaction do you get from your students?
Shock. Everybody's shocked. No, nobody would think that in the year 2024, adultery is still a Class B misdemeanor that could carry months or whatever it is in jail.
New York is one of just 17 states with an adultery law on the books. It's been there since 1907, back when the state was trying to discourage people from getting a divorce. And it carries a maximum sentence of 90 days in jail. But that could soon change. State lawmakers passed a bill earlier this year that would remove it from the state's penal code. And now it's up to Governor Kathy Hochul whether to sign it into law.
I would find it extremely surprising if the governor had a problem with signing this bill.
That's State Senator Liz Krueger, a Manhattan Democrat who sponsored the bill. She told me she first learned of the adultery law more than two decades ago, when Republicans were trying to pass welfare restrictions for people evading a crime. She recalls flipping through a list of misdemeanors that she keeps in her desk.
And it's this enormously long list of things that, frankly, I thought were somewhat amusing.
When the bill came up for debate on the Senate floor in 2002, she started asking the Republican sponsor, what about this crime? What about that one?
And adultery, that's also a misdemeanor.
And the looks on my colleagues' faces, if I had had a camera, oh my God.
There were cameras, actually. Republican Senator George Maziarz was captured letting out the slightest chuckle as he broke into a huge, uncomfortable smile.
Misdemeanors.
It's a misdemeanor, sir.
Only about a dozen people have faced adultery charges in New York over the last 50 years.
My name is Brian Degnan. I'm an attorney in Batavia, New York.
Degnan took the law professor Timothy Tippin's class back in 2004. 7 years later, a married 41-year-old woman was charged with adultery in Degnan's hometown. She was caught in a sex act with a man in a public park. Degnan took her on as a client.
I had all kinds of people emailing about it at the time. I mean, it made national news. It was over what? Over two consenting adults engaging in a private act.
The charge was eventually dropped, and the woman pleaded guilty to public lewdness. But the damage was already done. When she later faced charges in a totally unrelated case, all the news articles noted she was once charged with adultery.
She would never escape that charge as long as she lived in Batavia, and it was with her for life, and that's why I call it the Scarlet A.
So far, there hasn't been much opposition to repealing the adultery law, but Bill Donahue is president of the Catholic League, a national advocacy group. He says the law should stay on the books.
I'm concerned about the coarsening of our society and the kind of nonchalant attitude that men will have. It sends a signal, and I don't think it's the right signal.
That's not to say all Catholics are against a repeal. The Catholic Church in New York hasn't taken a position on the bill, but says not all sins should be a crime. Governor Hochul has until the end of the year to sign or veto the legislation. A spokesperson says she's reviewing it. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, they're all made possible with support from our listeners. So if you like what you hear and you've been with us for a while now, please consider making a donation to WSHU. All the info on how to do that is there for you on our website, including how to make a vehicle donation. And as always, reach out with any thoughts or story ideas. Our email is news@wshu.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.